Welcome to Notes from the North with Kyle and Sam.
Welcome back to Notes from the North. Kyle and Sam here. And Kyle, we hinted at it last Monday that it was going to be a lot of news. Maybe in hindsight, we really didn't have a whole lot to offer, considering that so much changed, probably by the time that anyone actually listened to what we said. But one of the biggest weeks in terms of news, and a lot has happened related to the Vikings. It has not been a quiet off season so far.
Yeah, I mean, back in January, Kwesi Dofo-Mensah kind of indicated that he knew this was a really important off season, and kind of knew that there were some major decisions coming up. And we've been kind of talking about it. I've been writing about it. Others have been writing about it. We've been talking about it on the podcast. Everyone's kind of see, you know, we were even just a week ago, like literally 7 days from now, basically to the hour, you know, you could see that it was basically just the calm before the storm. Like things were going to happen. Major decisions were going to be made. And sure enough, you know what I mean? Like one of the first major deals coming out of free agency was for Jonathan Greenard, like the new edge rusher, young, super efficient, 12 and a half sacks last year. And then I think as soon as he was onboarded, there was basically just that sense of like, here was your Hunter replacement. I was disappointed, I think, a little bit that Hunter left, and disappointed that it was only for 2 years and $49 million, 24.5 per year on average. A lot of money, certainly a lot of money, right? But not like a backbreaking amount, not like Nick Bosa's $34 million per year average amount kind of thing. And then if you just look at Hunter, you know, Hunter's cap hit this year in Houston is actually lower than Hunter's cap hit this year in Minnesota. The dead money for Hunter in Minnesota is at 14.9. And if I'm not mistaken, Sam, over in Houston is 14.75, right? So, and I know that the numbers wouldn't have worked, you know, that cleanly if he had just stayed in Minnesota, you know, because they're dealing with kind of the ramifications of past year signing bonuses and so on and so forth. Hunter was the decision I was a little disappointed about, just because it's so hard to replace, you know, that sentiment in hockey, that great starting pitcher in baseball. You know what I mean? Just like that, those players are so vital, so difficult to replace. But Greenard is promising, really, and young, two and a half years younger. Hasn't yet kind of had like a full workload. Like a, you know, 1,000 snap season, 17 games in, 17 games out, starting every week. And that's something that maybe goes two ways, because you could say, okay, he hasn't had that, and then look at the production, right? He's had less opportunity on the field, and look at the stats he's still able to pile up, right? But then if you're bringing him in to be your edge one, which they are, then you kind of hope that he can feast on snaps, right? And then just like feast on defensive opportunities. And so we'll just kind of see how things go. But that's an exciting, but both exciting and disappointing, I think, a little bit kind of wrapped into one, kind of how they kind of made that swap a little bit.
For sure. Yeah. No, that I think as you look at the offseason, and I guess there's different ways we could go about this. I wonder if maybe you hinted at it, there is this comings and goings, and often you can see there are these replacements, and we'll get to it. Some of them are exciting. You talked about the swap at the edge, and some of them are maybe a little less
Cousins for Darnold.
Exciting.
That's a step back.
That's where we're going. So let's start just maybe highlighting the departures. Let's do that, because I think that certainly feels like big news. And you mentioned Hunter. Yeah. Hunter is the big one in defense. Kirk Cousins feels like maybe, if not the biggest, definitely a top three news out of free agency so far. League-wide.
Yeah.
So Cousins, lots of debate, leaves, gets paid a ton of money to go to Atlanta. Yeah. But you lose Hunter, you lose Cousins, and then you got a tier maybe below that of some other relatively important players that played key minutes for the Vikings last year.
Yeah, that's basically, I mean, you got a very good quarterback and an elite edge rusher. Like those two dudes, you know, obviously occupy a pretty high spot on your roster in terms of importance. But then kind of below them, you have Marcus Davenport getting going over to Detroit. And I know he didn't play much, but he's crazy talented, still pretty young. And by him leaving, that $6.8 million locks in for dead money. And so those three dominoes, Hunter and Cousins and Davenport, really push that dead money to insane heights. I think it's like up over $57 million now, which is first in the NFL, which is basically just part of your budget this year that's inaccessible, right? And so it's going to hinder you this year in a sense, and that it kind of limits your flexibility in the short term. What it does, though, is protect your financial flexibility from 2025 onward, which is obviously part of Placido Fomenta's point. Otherwise, KJ Osborne, that's a more recent one. He's gone. Jordan Hicks has gone to Cleveland. You have Cleveland Browns, man, their front seven. They got Dalvin Tomlinson. They got Za'Darius Smith. They got Jordan Hicks now. They've got almost half of a front seven, all with former Vikings. Who else, Sam, has gone?
Lowry.
Yeah, Dean Lowry got cut. Alexander Mattison got cut. Yeah, that's right. So we'll kind of see on those two. Gosh, who else? There's been a lot of new. Wanham's down to Carolina, which is, of course, a spot where another, you know, former Minnesota Vikings, you think Thielen, you think Ymir Smith-Marset. So Wanham's gone as well. He was kind of one you kind of thought maybe he comes back on a kind of a modest-ish deal. But as we kind of talked about, so I wrote about this on PTSD, kind of responding to some of the work that Over the Cap is doing. And Nick Corte, I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing his name right, but he's kind of this comp picks expert. And he was talking about how the Vikings have a very high chance of landing comp picks. And for a little while, things were kind of, you know, it was a major subtraction, major addition, major subtraction, major addition. But you kind of add up all these subtractions now that we're doing, Sam. And now, right now, it looks like Minnesota's in line for two third round compensatory selections. So two late thirds in 2025. That's not for nothing, right? That is an intentional strategy from the Vikings. Burn off dead money right now. Acquire more assets in 2025 while also preserving your cap room in 2025. Like that's all part of the departure strategy. That's all part of kind of how the GM is trying to shepherd his team through this season. And still, nevertheless, you know, maintain one foot in that competitive world. Still, you know, nevertheless, still try to compete. Still try to get into the tournament, the final tournament, the playoffs. And see where things go, right? And so I think those are a lot of the major subtractions. And I guess there are more possibilities. I mean, where does Dalton Risner go, right? Like, you know, he'd be one where he's a starting offensive lineman. He actually went to Twitter and kind of talked about his expectations, I guess. Not in the sense that he says I'm going to be effective. I'm not looking to get, you know, this crazy contract. I want starting left guard money. Mm-hmm. And, you know, fair enough. He's a starting left guard. So he wants to be paid like a starting left guard. It remains to be seen whether that will be in Minnesota. So far, Kwesi has been pretty reluctant to pay interior linemen. You know, he gave a pretty modest 3-year deal to Garrett Bradbury. And otherwise, he's been kind of getting, yeah, kind of journeyman, someone like Chris Reed filling in a guard, or rookies like Ed Ingram filling in a guard. There's been a pretty deliberate effort to go cheap on the interior of the line. And so I don't know if there's going to be a major deal in Minnesota for Risner, but good player, getting him back would kind of solidify the left guard spot. We'll see on him, I suppose.
For sure. Yeah. Instead, definitely it feels like there's been a lot of moves, but also still definitely some holes and
a lot of work to be done.
Some yep. time. And we've talked about this. There are these tiers of free agency even, right? You've got, there's a lot of rush and you could see a lot of news that came out early, especially in that legal tampering window. Does feel like things have gotten a little bit quiet lately. And makes sense, but do know that there will be another wave in a sense of chances, and really it's not going to be the same condensed time frame, but it's going to there will be another stage where guys are signed. Maybe before we finish up and start moving to the additions, I haven't talked a whole lot about Kirk Cousins so far. And that does feel like one of these things. And I guess I sit here and say, I think you and I would both say that going into the offseason, if you look at all the quarterbacks available, even trade candidates, you think that you've got the best chance to win with Kirk Cousins as your quarterback next year. If that's the goal, he is going to be the guy that gives you the best chance to win.
Almost certainly.
Right. They're also, I think that you can do this little dance, especially after decisions made, where you're like, well, you know, he's 35, he's coming off the injury. You can talk yourself out of it. But as objectively as you can, the loss of Kirk Cousins feels quite significant. I think in some ways it's significant on the field and also off the field. Like, he was very much a leader for this team. And it's going to be weird to see the Vikings without him, because I know he's been here for a relatively long time. So I guess, like, when you think about Cousins and just that loss, how are you kind of rationalizing it for the Vikings and from their perspective?
So I think the Vikings covet flexibility and maneuverability more than they covet, you know, the best shot possible QB in 2024, right? And Kwesi kind of talked about this in his presser, where he kind of said, you know, look back to the last Super Bowl, and there you have it. Like, you kind of have your two avenues for how to compete for the ultimate prize. You could have that franchise QB, Mahomes, and that's one way of doing it. And if you have Mahomes or someone like him, you're thrilled. Or alternatively, you could kind of go cheap, right? And have someone who's maybe a tier below those, like, true elite guys in the league, and just, like, absolutely freaking load up in the roster, right? And then you see that with San Francisco. You see that with Purdy, right? Who's actually a pretty good quarterback, right? So he kind of acknowledged that. And so, like, we basically, and basically coming around to the point being that, like, we're trying to get ourselves to the point where we can pivot based off of what we see, what's available to us. I mean, you know, we'll talk about the trade in a few minutes, but, like, with that trade now, it literally allows you to do that, right? In a sense of, maybe you can hop up the board and get that guy who you think is going to be a franchise QB. And maybe he isn't that in year one, right? But maybe he can become that. And you kind of rally around this dude for 2, 3, 4 years with that, you know, artificially cheap contract. And you load up that roster and you go about it that way. And hopefully over the course of his rookie contract, he becomes, you know, maybe not at Mahomes' level, but a very good franchise quarterback. Or, you know, maybe you don't. Like, this is the thing is, like, everyone's assuming a trade up the board for QB, and that makes sense, right? But Kwesi also said he doesn't feel compelled to pick a quarterback in the draft, right? The GM does not like being boxed into a corner. He likes being able to pivot, likes being able to kind of do different things. And the one thing that's really important to remember is that, like, a trade actually takes two parties, right? It's entirely possible that the Vikings don't do anything else trade-wise, go into the draft, and kind of don't, you know, find a partner, right? In the top three or whatever the case may be. And so it's possible. It's possible, right? And that allows you to load up the roster. At 11 and 23, can you load up the roster even more? Can you bring in a crazy edge rusher at 11? Maybe a long and strong corner at 23? Again, I'm not saying it's possible. I'm not saying it's likely. I'm saying it's possible. Right. And so all those things, I think, are kind of playing in the back of his mind with Kirk Cousins. And you would think, like, in letting Kirk Cousins go, right? Because he's pursuing these two possible paths for Super Bowl contention, right? And so you kind of just wonder, the trade came out of nowhere, from the outside looking in at least. How long was the GM working on this one? Right? How long were these conversations going on with Houston? Probably a little while. It probably didn't just, like, spring up out of nowhere, right? And so you kind of wonder, you know, within this kind of news about Cousins, he leaves. Certainly all the rumors were saying Atlanta. And then, of course, it became a reality. And whether or not they tampered, well, that's an ongoing investigation, apparently. And the Vikings, meanwhile, have been kind of preparing their plans, right? Sure. And so Darnold's part of that as a bridge guy. He doesn't want to call him a bridge guy. He says he's a quarterback who's on a roster for 1 year. But he's a bridge quarterback. Maybe he thrives. I doubt it, but maybe he thrives. And then now you've got a little bit more kind of high-level draft picks in order to potentially jump up that board.
For sure. Like, I don't know, when Kwesi's like, I'm not going to feel pressure to move up. It's like, well, obviously you're not going to come out and say that, like, this is what you're doing.
No, of course not. Like, you got to have a good poker face.
Like, but everyone looking around the league has a pretty good sense of, hey, you just lost Kirk Cousins. There's a need there. You're trading for a pick. Like, it's not a secret what he's doing. Although, I'm not saying that it's for sure, but it just, like, there's not a whole lot he can do to prove, like, well, you know, really, we don't really care about the quarterbacks, but if you want to give us your third overall pick or whatever it is, like, fine.
Yep. Of course, all these things we know about Kwesi Dofumeza, he will make bold, controversial trades. He doesn't like being boxed into a corner. He has his vision and he will pursue it. And he'll look at the roster and try to basically work with the team. And based off what he's kind of seeing, move them into one of two paths, like that franchise QB path, or like that, you know, young rookie build around, load up that roster, or not even a young rookie, but maybe like a solid quarterback is cheaper and load up the roster. All those things are true. And I think in a sense that leaves, even if it's small, that leaves some possibility that those picks don't get kind of packaged together and traded up. I genuinely think, even if the likeliest scenario is indeed to go to number three, to go to number five, seven makes some sense. Less so now that Atlanta, the Cousins, because Atlanta's at eight. But in any case, that's the likeliest scenario still. I think, honestly, in Adolfo's mind, he's not saying, oh, therefore I have to do this now, right? Like, he'll be controversial. He'll be bold. And in negotiations, he's willing to say no. We just saw him say no with Kirk Cousins, right? Like, he wouldn't go too high on it, right? So when you're negotiating, that little two-letter word is actually surprisingly powerful. Being able to say no, that's, you're actually probably a lousy negotiator if you can't say that. So I hear you. It's 98%, 99%. The Vikings are probably going to make their run at trading up for a QB, right? But I don't think it's necessarily a foregone conclusion.
Right. Yeah, fair enough.
That's my take on it, but that might be entirely wrong. They might pull a trade today. Who knows?
That would, we'll see. I'll say that's just the last piece to close up. You talk about looking into the tampering. I feel like as a Vikings fan, you're kind of hoping that they tamper at this point. His guy's gone. Might as well get some kind of compensation for it. But
You got the compensatory third and extra cap space. And maybe, I don't know, maybe there's a tampering pick in there. Maybe like another bit of whatever for letting him go.
Let's move to the additions here. I think you talked about they added the draft pick. That certainly is a piece, but they also added some players. You mentioned Sam Darnold, and if we sit here, even we're talking about this pick, we're talking about maybe moving up to number three. Here is a former third overall pick quarterback. You say certainly you're not going to expect him to do the production that Kirk Cousins is. I do, in talking with you, it does feel like you're maybe a little bit lower on Darnold. I don't know. I'm like, if you give a guy Jefferson, Hockenson when he's able to come back, and Addison, I don't know. I want to remain hopeful. He certainly is one of the big pieces that's here. Definitely some other ones, though, that are intriguing. Aaron Jones, Van Grinkle, and Grenard, you mentioned earlier. Some intriguing positions that the Vikings have intriguing guys here that the Vikings have gone after. And it definitely seems like that you talked about Kwesi Adofo-Mensah and his strategy. There definitely is a theme with the guys that are being brought in.
Yeah, well, I mean, we kind of see for a while that defensive rebuild kind of had the shift to a certain extent in intensity to the front seven, right? And that he's invested so much in the secondary, you know, with draft picks. And now he's kind of really kind of deliberately kind of targeting the front seven, which makes sense. And so you get the two new edge guys. You get Cashman, who's an off-ball linebacker. The only note there, whether it's important or not, I don't know. Last year, the free agency additions were kind of buy low guys. Marcus Davenport, Dean Lowry, coming off four seasons, buy low, maybe get a little bit more of a modest deal. Fast forward a year, Cashman, Van Ginkel, and Grenard are all coming off 3 years. So this is not a buy low scenario. I mean, you still look at the Grenard deal and think it's pretty good value, and I agree. If you're getting 4 years of a $19 million average, that's, you know, and if he becomes like a true edge one for you, that's tremendous, right? So I'm not saying that necessarily the deals are all bad. I'm just saying that like Kwesi's kind of buying high rather than buying low. And so I don't know if that was just coincidence or an intentional strategy to kind of maybe adjust. I know Jerry Tillery, former first round pick, defensive tackle, hope is that he can provide a little bit of push from the interior of the defensive line. The D line needs a pile of work still, right? And that's not even that's no insult to Tillery. That's no insult to Harrison Phillips or Jonathan Buller or Jaquelin Roy. It's just there's only four of them. There's only four defensive linemen. They need way more, right? And so just adding more players, let alone good players. They just need to add more players, ideally good players. But the front seven is kind of getting its overhaul. And that's where you kind of say, man, the front seven still needs considerable work. And so if that trade partner isn't there at three or at five, do the Vikings do 11 and 23? Does JJ McCarthy slide to 11? I don't know. I doubt it. But again, possibilities there, right? And then Aaron Jones, great pickup. I know he's going to be 30 soon. He packs a lot of power in his legs. He's a smaller dude. He's got that low center of gravity. Great running back. He's going to partner well with Ty Chandler. Hopefully the Vikings at least pretend to care about the running game and kind of see what that does for their offense. Because it's and I know, like, everyone knows this argument. Everyone can see it. Darnold played for absolute crap teams over the first 5 years of his career, and then he was a backup for an excellent team. So he kind of gets a chance to sit at Kyle Shanahan's feet, kind of soak up all that wisdom, come over here to Minnesota. You got an excellent tackle tandem, kind of bookending the lines. You get those three incredible pass catchers. Once Hawkins on his back, you got a top trio of pass catchers, which is basically the envy of the NFL. And then you got Aaron Jones, who's a legit RB1, so long as he's healthy. And, you know, he's averaged 5 yards per carry over the course of his career. 7 years, he's sitting at 5 yards per carry on average. And he was excellent to end the season last year for Green Bay and into the playoffs. And so you kind of think about the tackles, the receivers, Aaron Jones. Oh, boy. That is a lot for a defensive coordinator to worry about. You know, if you double Justin Jefferson, which you're going to double Justin Jefferson, there's a lot of ways you can still get hurt and still get beat, right? And so, in theory, that opens up a lot of room for whoever's playing quarterback. In theory, that makes the game easier, right? I don't know about this sign, to be honest. You know, Kevin O'Connell values accuracy above all else. He's kind of this accuracy and then brains. I think Darnold's a smart guy. I don't think he's super accurate. You know, his career average is less than 60%. You know what I mean? Like, we're not talking about football back in the 70s. Like, this is friggin' 2024, dude. Like, this is like the whole game is centered around allowing passing to thrive. Maybe that's just the Jets. Maybe that's just the Panthers. And maybe with Kevin O'Connell and these weapons, maybe he can get to 63, 64, 65%, right? And he's got some power in his throw. He's got a good live arm. He's got amazing size. You know, like, not amazing size. I mean, he's got good size. He's built like a quarterback should be built. He's tall. He's pretty thick. He's got a powerful arm. Can he be more accurate, right? And so I'm skeptical, man. But we'll see. I've been wrong so many times. So we'll just see.
Yeah. I don't know. I've got no reason other than just pure blind optimism, but I have hope. And I think this is what I would say, is that you hope he's good. Like, again, we don't want to see a bad team, although maybe you get a good draft pick. Like, sure, that's great. What I will say, if the Vikings do take a quarterback and trade up for a quarterback, really hope that Darnold plays well enough that you don't hear by week 5, week 6, we should be putting in the rookie when he's not ready. Again, you don't, like, maybe the guy they pick is ready to jump in. But I think, as you see historically, it is almost always very helpful for a rookie quarterback to at least have a year to sit there, to learn, to
almost always
watch, kind of soak in what's happening around them. And so you hope that Darnold is good enough, that they are healthy enough to make sure that the Vikings don't end up trading up for a guy there, and then you end up hindering the development because the guy that you have a quarterback is so bad that they're unplayable, and you need to have the rookie come in, or there's this pressure of we need to do something because this isn't working.
Okay, so my one little caveat there, if you can, you know, think back into your memory, this is more than a decade ago. Matt Flynn brought over to Seattle. He's going to be the QB1. Seattle drafts this guy named Russell Wilson in the mid rounds, I think in the third round. And Russell Wilson was just so good in the offseason that he kind of, the plan was to roll with the starter, or with the veteran to be the starter. And then Russell Wilson just kind of showed he was better, right? And jumped in, and that ended up being the right decision for Seattle. So there is a tiny precedent for a kind of scenario where you could say, we're going to roll with Sam Darnold. He's the veteran. We're going to build things around him. We're going to you know, figure out what he does well. We're going to kind of blend that with their play calling, what receivers do well, and all this stuff. And then maybe the young dude comes in and just proves so definitively through OTAs, through training camp, through preseason, week one, this is the dude. And then in rare scenarios, that actually makes sense. But that's more the exception rather than the rule. The priority is someone who you hope can play excellently in 2025. You look at a QB and say, this QB with a year is going to be a friggin' monster in 2025. And we're going to hold down the fort and try to be competitive with Darnold, with Mullins, with whomever in 2024. I think that's really how they're kind of looking at it.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Good. Well, there's lots more we could talk about, or we could talk more about what we're here to. I know we were going to talk about that draft pick trade, I feel like we talked about a little bit. Anything else you wanted to add on to that, just as we wrap up?
No, that was trade number 20 for Kwesi Dofumensa. So that was trade number 20. And then across his two, he's done two drafts so far. He's made 16 selections. He's made 9 trades across those two drafts. And so I'm just saying, buckle up. Buckle
21
up. Right?
Could be,
and
21 could be
21
really
could be huge, right? If, you know, if it does get into that top three or top five. And then the only other thing there would simply be to kind of keep in mind there's this kind of huge now. If you were to go to third, I think their next pick is 108. If you package 11 and 23, go up to 3, you've now got a long time to wait, Vikings fans, as in like all of day 2, right? You know, all the second round, all the third round, most of the first round. So if that does happen, get excited with the QB. That's great. And then be patient and plan on tuning in on day 3, unless, you know, he trades into day 2, which is always possible. But those are kind of things just to kind of keep in the back of your mind.
Yeah, absolutely. Good. Well, we can wrap up there. Thanks everyone for listening. Again, Kyle's mentioned there's lots of Vikings coverage, VikingsTerritory.com, PurplePTSD.com.
April, Sam.
April, yes. Yeah,
April we will, for the next notes episode.
Yeah, we'll be pausing until April for a little while. And maybe just last thing, Minnesota Madness.
Yeah. Yeah, we finished up Minnesota Madness. Donation has been made to the Vikings Foundation in honor of Justin Jefferson. His week 16 catch. Get those arms up. Dude was not open. He's double covered. Just talked about double coverage. Still made the play. You know, so sometimes the defensive coordinator does everything right. You know, double Jefferson on a critical third down and, you know, blanket him in coverage. And you still end up being wrong because Jefferson is that good. So Minnesota Madness, Jefferson, no surprise, was the winner. And a donation has been made from Vikings Territory and Purple PTSD to the Vikings Foundation to kind of reinvest in the game itself, reinvest in football, which we kind of write about and think about basically on a daily basis.
Fantastic. Well, can't wait for Darnold to be throwing those to Jefferson this year.
That's right. Absolutely. If Darnold can complete 3rd and 27s to Jefferson with regularity, 1, I'll be concerned about all the 3rd and 27s, and 2, I'll be amazed and admit I was wrong about Darnold.
Yeah. This would be a good thing to be wrong about.
100%.
Which is a good way to be. So yeah, again, thanks everyone for listening. We'll be back in April. Again, Viking coverage, purpleptsd.com, vikingsterritory.com. Thanks everyone for listening. Take care. Have a great week. Bye.